much for coming back this evening. Now, I want you to open your Bible up to the 121st Psalm. We're talking about these Psalms as they were a songbook assembled, as you see, Psalms of Ascent, when these people went to Jerusalem every year, traveling on a journey in the Old Testament. Really, we have to read it with our New Testament eyes to get it. And for just a moment to do that, turn to Hebrews so we can see these phrases that we find in these Psalms, that what they are alluding to us today as we read these things. The Hebrew writer said in the 12th chapter of Hebrews, starting in verse 22, talking about this covenant we're living under today, this New Testament. And so the writer would say in Hebrews 12 and verse 22, this statement is made. But ye are not come unto Mount Zion, but unto the city of the living... I'm sorry, I read it wrong. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to the innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly, and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we if we turn away from him that spake from heaven. So here's the picture now in the New Testament of what these Old Testament writers are what we have already called the typology, the study of type and the antitype. And in these Old Testament passages where we read about Israel, they read that from their perspective as they saw it going to Jerusalem. But we see it as our perspective now as we've come to the church, we've come to what they were looking forward to, and we're going beyond this Revelation 21 to this new heaven and new earth when it will all be finalized at the very end. So just as shocking as it was to them to be able to have seen what we see, the shocking of what it will be when we finally get where we're going and see God and be in the place where God intended for us to be with Him forever and ever. And so as we read these Psalms, let's get that picture of Israel and Jerusalem and the house of God to be where we are today, and how God saw in these people, just like when He called His son out of Egypt or when He called Abraham to come out of where he came, everything that God did was a symbol of some way of what He's done for us today in the church. And so now when we turn to this 121st Psalm, the writer begins by saying, he makes a statement that makes you ask the question to yourself, can anybody help? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever been somewhere and something happened to you and you think, I wonder if anybody can help me now? I'm in such a mess, I don't know if I can get out of this mess. And so can anybody help? We see people in the Bible over and over. That 42nd Psalm, I don't want to get crazy and get carried away, but when you look at that 42nd Psalm when people are saying to David, where's your God, David? You see, David had trouble, he got in trouble, he made a mess in his life. And so his friends and enemies would say, where's your God now, David? And David said, I am like a wounded deer. Have you ever noticed that when deer are shot with an arrow or a gun, the first thing they start looking for is a place to get a drink? They can't wait to find. If you want to find your wounded deer, know where the nearest water is. You'll find him at the water hole. If he can get there, he's going to get him a drink. That's what he's after. He longs. He hungers and thirsts for that drink that he can get to, you see. And David said, my soul panteth for thee as the hart, as the deer, after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. And he said, how long will it be before I can go into the house of God with the people of God again? And he said three times in that psalm, why is my soul disquieted? Why am I so troubled? You have to ask yourself that. And the answer is, he went on to say, my hope, my trust, my confidence is in God. We shouldn't be troubled. We shouldn't be bothered, but we are. That's a part of the fact of life, isn't it? And so when you look at this 121st Psalm, maybe that will set the stage in our mind some. And we might ought to ask ourselves, the man who wrote these Psalms and wrote many of these Psalms, we're not sure exactly the word, if it was David, you have to ask yourself, where do David come from? does it come from a college somewhere? Or where do you find somebody like David in any time in all human history? How do men become like David? Well, I'll tell you, God puts a load on people in their life. And he develops and strengthens them and gets them to see that they cannot do it. And they're going to make a mess if they think they can. But when they finally get the load and realize that God is going to help me do it, he's going to make me strong enough. He's going to carry me. He's not going to quit on me. He's not going to go to sleep, and he's not going to give up, and I don't have to worry. He'll never, never leave me, and he'll never, never forsake me. If we ever get that into our head, and we really believe that, we'll give up on worrying and fretting about whatever and under the sun comes down the pike. But now listen, as the writer says, I lift up mine eyes onto the hills. From whence cometh my help? Now, the old translation has a period there, but if you've noticed the newer translations, they seem to have understood more clearly that David was raising a question here, or the psalmist was, raising a question, where does my help come from? You see, that's the issue. The writer is trying to figure out where does my help come from? And so, when you do like that, now you do it, and so he wants to know the answer to that, you see. And so he looks up to the hills. Now, do you know, if you studied Isaiah and Micah and these other prophets in the Old Testament, what was on every high hill? Do you remember what they did? I've gone to India many times, and I love to go up on the big giant rocks. There's always some kind of a temple, some kind of a mosque or something up on top of those high rises. It's beautiful to get up there and look around to see the beauty of what God has made off into the distance. But everywhere you go there, there's some kind of an idol up there, some kind of a temple that men have made with men's religion in it, and that's what you see on every high hill. And so these people, as they set out on their journey to go to Jerusalem, and again they're stepping up, this word ascend is a journey, is somebody on a journey. It's not somebody, as I said this morning, that's a tourist. We have tourists in the church today. They ride the bus, they come to church, they get off and see the scenes in the church, they see the problems, they get on the bus, and they go to another church and see the scenes over there, and they're tourists going around. They don't solve problems, they don't help people, they don't strengthen churches. They just get on a tour bus and ride from place to place and see what's there and go on by their way. They're just looking to see what's there. But some people get in there and they say, I am on a journey. I'm not here to see the sights, I'm going somewhere. I'm going from this point on the day of eternity, and I'm not going to stop till I get over there, and I don't know if it's just two steps away from me or a million miles from me, but I'm going all the way there. And so here's somebody taking the journey to God. He's a pilgrim who wants to worship God. He wants to step in the house of God. We saw this morning in chapter 22. That's what he said our feet will do. But he sees here himself lifting up his eyes. So we can lift up our eyes. Did you notice coming to the building today after you went home or went wherever you went that you rolled by a lot of other kind of buildings that people meet in? You see great, gigantic, big buildings and small buildings, all kind of big. You see mosques and temples. We've got Hindu mosque temples in America and Muslim mosque. I would have never dreamed in America we would see all those things here. We've got all these different, we can look up to all these hills. We can look up to our bank account or savings thing we have for retirement, something 110 or whatever it is, wherever you put your money in. Looking down, you can think about, well, I'm looking to my retirement. You know I'm going to get that and draw off that one day, whatever that is. And so you just look around, and if you're not careful, you can start thinking, well, now, you see, I'm in trouble, and really, the only way I can get out, I've got to go somewhere and find some help. You know, Asa, the king, he trusted in the doctors when he got sick. He forgot that there was a great physician that could do more than any doctor could do, and as a result, he got into trouble because now listen to me, I love doctors, and I always tell them I appreciate them and hug them and value them, and I tell them I'm glad what they know about medicine and what they can do, but I'm going to tell them, and I always tell them, I know that God is in charge. You're going to do your job, but God is the one in charge of all this, and so I'm not worried, so don't you worry. You just do your job and let God take care of the rest of it. And when we can look at everything in life that way, at our financial situation, our health, our family, we can look at the church. I remember years ago when I was preaching as a young boy in Madison, and the church got into a bunch of trouble. It looked like we were going to split the thing right down the middle. I was up in the middle of the night studying my Bible and praying, and I read Revelation, the first chapter in verse 19, where the Lord said, those seven stars are in my right hand. And I thought, well, thank God. This church is not in my hands, and I don't have to hold it. The Lord's got it in His hand, and I don't have to worry a bit about it. And if we can just see everything that away, When trouble and storms blow through, let them come. Somebody's out there right now dreaming up some other trouble to come through here. Don't you worry, it'll get here. And we just got to ride the wave. That's what we've got to do. But if we can see, as this person did, when you lift up your eyes to the hills, you'll see there's nothing in the hills, because where does his hope come from? Where does his help come from? Where does this person see that he can find help and hope? Think about that. All the places we look in the world today to try to find some kind of solution to our problems, when really the only counselor we need, the only thing we need to help us and give us strength and help when we're in trouble and to get us through, how do you get through the teenage years? Well, you look at your Bible. How do you get through middle age of life? Well, you look at your Bible. How do you get through old age? You look at your Bible. How do you go through death? You just keep looking at your Bible. You see, we seek God through His Word. We said that in the 119th Psalm over and over. I wish we had time to study that Psalm and see this man. He was broken and down in the dirt, and he was just about to give up. But he kept saying, I turn, open your book and meditate. God, teach me. I seek you through your Word, you see. And so this man understood that. And so this fellow has raised the question, lifted my eyes to the mountains from whence my help comes. My help comes from, and notice when he puts emphasis on that, you see what we've got here? Here's the mountains. Here's all the other things that we can be distracted by. All the other religions, all other things that we can look at. But let me tell you, where we need to see our help comes from the Lord. And notice, he said, the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. We just sang a few minutes ago. How great thou art. And we see everything around us, you see, that God has made. This is my Father's world. You know, let me say something to you about God. You know, nobody can lift your eyes up and cause you to want to look for help from God. Nobody can do that but you. You've got to lift up your eyes, and you've got to see, if you want to find God, you've got to lift your eyes up, because God is up and you're down. There's some people who don't stop and think about the fact that if I'm going to be saved, I've got to look up to God. God has got to help me. I can't do this, you see. And so this old boy understood, when I lift up my eyes to the one who made, you remember in the storm in Matthew the 8th chapter, verse 24, I believe it is, when the disciples, Jesus was asleep in the ship, and they just knew they were going to drown. They went, don't you care, went down, don't you care that we perish? And he came up on the top of that ship in the storm, and the ship was filling up with water. And he said, peace be still. And when he said that, the waves in the sea became a great calm. And when it became a great calm, the Bible says, they looked at each other and they said, what manner of man is this? And even the wind and the waves obey him. You know what that word, what manner of man? That means, here's somebody out of this world. That's the same word used over in 1 John, the 4th chapter, I believe it is about verse 1 or 2. Well, what manner of love God loves us? You know, God's love is out of this world. And you know that His Son came from out of this world. And when we see that God is not going to let us sleep, not going to let us die by Him going to sleep on us and letting us go. Jesus said, we're going over there, and He went to sleep. The boat could have sunk and He could have went underwater, but it had got over there and it had all been there. Because He told them, that's where we're going. I don't care if we've got to go underwater, we're going. And when the Lord tells us something, we've got to believe that. And if He can go to sleep, well, maybe we ought to go to sleep. I heard about an old boy one time, he was going to get a job somewhere, and they said, you know, this job has a lot of stress and strain with it, so you think you could handle it? He said, listen, I can sleep in a storm. They said, we don't care what you can do with sleep. Can you get through the job? He said, I can sleep in a storm. I can go to sleep no matter what goes on. And when you have that kind of disposition of mind, my friend, you're ready to live. Nothing's going to shake your body. You're going somewhere because your mind is set on where you're going, and you've lifted your eyes up, and you know that your help is coming from the Lord. That's who you trust in, who you put your confidence in. But now notice he says something about this. Notice how many references he makes to what God promises, what God says He will do. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Here's a picture of God saying to you, listen, I'm not going to let your foot... Now, we're not talking about walking down the street with your physical feet. I had a four-wheel drive truck years ago, went over to somebody's house to help them out, and I got out of the truck, and I didn't notice there was a sheet of ice all over the driveway. And I got out of the truck, and I had hold of the handle, and I did, my feet slipped, and I went all the way in the truck, and held the handle, and I slipped, and went all the way up under the truck. And the first thing I did was look to see if anybody saw me. You know, when you fall down, that's what you want to know. I'd find out later if I was hurt or not. I just wanted to make sure nobody saw me. But you know, you're going to fall down physically in life. But let me tell you, if you put your feet on the path of God and you keep walking, you're going to go along and you're going to have trouble. You're going to stumble, but God is not going to let you go. He's going to stay with you. And I don't care if you slip off a track, He's going to pull you back up. Those statements over there in Job where he does all these things, he sends a messenger, he sends somebody come near to death, or other things can happen, and all those things are so He can pull you back out of the pit. God's trying to save us. He's trying to deliver us. And here's the picture of God watching over us. So God says, listen, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm not going to suffer you to be moved. I'm not going to sit by and let you go. If you keep coming, I'm going to keep working. And then the next verse says, behold, he that keepeth Israel. Now, we've already mentioned that in Galatians 6 and verse 16. Who is the Israel? The Israel today is the people of God, those who walk according to this rule. We're the Israel. And the blessing of God is on us. That's what the New Testament says. So what is God going to do to the Israel today? He is going to keep. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Now, here's a picture of God. You know one thing I know about what God is doing? God is doing an interrupted job. He does not take off a day. I was telling about being in Zimbabwe or Sierra Leone or something. No, Zimbabwe years ago. And we got to a place and these people had come. There must have been 400 people had come miles and miles and walked and brought food and animals. They hung goats in a tree and skinned them and hung them by a fire. And you'd go over and take a knife, cut a piece of meat off, hold on the fire and cook it and eat. And you'd go back over and start worshiping again. It just went on all day long. And it went on until about 2 o'clock in the night. And we started getting tired. And they said, are y'all going to keep on going? And we said, well, they said, would y'all like to go all night? I got chill bumps. I said, I've never done it, but I want to try. Well, about 4 o'clock, I was up here like this. Well, now, open your Bible up. And I said, brethren, I have got to stop. I don't have the wherewithal to even think. And so they said, well, lay down and take a nap. So I laid down. I went to sleep for about an hour, and I woke up, and they were singing. They were going right on singing. So I went back to sleep. I thought, well, when you get tired of singing, I'll get up. I went on, slept for about another hour, and woke me up again. They were singing all night long. Those people worship God all night long. I don't have it in me. I wish I did. But here's a picture of God. He doesn't go to bed. God doesn't take off. God's not going. Don't you say, see, they were saying, David, where's your God now? David could say, listen, don't worry, my God. You hear about the old boy, one of the emperors of Rome, said to him, well, what's your carpenter doing now? We're going to put you to death. What's your carpenter doing now? And the old boy said, well, I'll tell you what my carpenter, he's building a coffin for you. You see, that's what God's doing. He's building a coffin for people who work against him. But here's the picture of somebody understanding the significance of God never slumbering. He does not sleep. And notice, he not only does he watch over these people and keep an eye on them and what's going on in them, he doesn't take off. God's on the job. Don't you think he's not? And David's enemies thought that he was, but he was not off. He said, the sun shall not strike you by day or the moon by night. But listen to what verse, let me read verse 5. The Lord is the keeper. I'm sorry, the Lord is the keeper, the Lord is the shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. Now think about that. Here's a picture, and have you ever seen the picture in the Old Testament? I've often said, if I'd led the people of the children of God in the wilderness, and you notice that God gave them a cloud by the day that overshadowed those people in the wilderness by the day. Have you ever been in the wilderness very much? When I go to Africa and places, I always thank God when a cloud comes up. It is hot over there. And the sun makes it that much hotter. And then when you go to bed at night, it gets cold and you freeze to death at night. And so you can't sleep, and so you become a lunatic. You know what? The lunar, the moon? You stare at the moon and say, I wish it would warm up. I hope the sun would come up. Here's a picture of not being bothered by the sun during the day and not becoming a lunatic at night. Most of the times I've lost my mind was in the middle of the night. Are you that way? Something is on your mind, and you just can't get it off of your mind. You can't turn the thing off. And so God said, let me tell you, if you know who I am and you want to find some help, You can go to sleep at night and you can get up during the day. It doesn't matter what goes on. I'll protect you. I'll watch over you. I'll keep you. I'll protect you so that you won't be overwhelmed or troubled or bothered by what goes on. And he says it. Notice he goes on in these verses to show us that not only does God promise to do that, but listen what he says in the next verse. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. Notice, here is something that is all-inclusive. Here's something that is unlimited. God said, if you want to, I'll show you every time there's a temptation, there's a way to get around that. There's a way of escape. You can find the way of escape if you want it. You want to escape something? I'll make a way every time. I'll make sure you can find your way out of whatever you're into. Whatever hole you fall into, whatever pit you get out into, whatever ditch you run into. I was in crossing between Kenya and Tanzania a couple years ago. And my friends, it was late at night, I can't read very well, so I always have trouble with customs papers filling them out. So my friends got their papers, and they went on, they walked ahead of me. They were going across there's an opening between the two countries, about maybe 150 yards, and they were way on up ahead of me, and I got up to this one place where it was real dark, and there were about six Muslims standing on this wide sidewalk, and one of them had a motorcycle turned to block part of the sidewalk, and the other fellows were standing there about, and one guy had a club standing there, and I could see this was a setup. I'm not very smart, but I'm not stupid. I knew I was getting ready to get my head busted, and so I thought, well, now I'm not going to push those guys. And so what I'll do is that the sidewalk, the light was so you couldn't see beyond the edge of the sidewalk. You saw the light on the sidewalk, but you couldn't see what was beyond. So I thought, I'll just walk up there like I'm going to go step over the motorcycle, and I'll step around that motorcycle, and I'll go on around it. When I stepped over there, I didn't know there was a 4-foot ditch on the other side of the sidewalk. So I went out of sight, old buddy. But when I hit the bottom of that side, down that storm sewer, I was running in high gear. And I'm sure those old boys said, what in the world's that old man been eating? I hit the sewer and took off running. I ran up and caught my buddies, and they said, what's going on? I said, those guys are about to bust my head back here. You all need to wait on me. But you see, the point is, you can go on through anything. You don't have to worry. You have to be troubled. God, it may look like you're at the end of it. No, you're not. I can't tell you how many times I've been in that situation in my life. You just hang in there. And you just see that God is going to watch. He's going to preserve your way. And notice he's going to do it as the writer shows in the psalm. Look at how he says that God would do that. He's going to preserve. Notice in verse 7, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. So there's this unlimited hope of whatever you face in life. And verse 8, the Lord shall preserve thee by the day, by the going out and thy coming in, from this time and forever and forever and forevermore. And notice he shows us in this psalm that what God is saying is, if you put your trust in me, and you see me as your help, I not only will make sure that there's uninterrupted watching over you, I'm going to watch over you. I'm going to shelter you from the heat and the storm. I'm going to preserve you and carry you and take care of you. And I'm not going to do it just from right now. And I know you say, well, I've got to this point, but what's on the next corner? We don't know what's on the next corner. But we don't have to worry what's on the next corner, because God is saying, let me tell you, it is unending. There's no ending to the protection God will give to his people. So whenever you get to thinking you've come to the end of the way, and you think you've come, well, I don't know what I'm going to do, let me tell you, these people on this journey, they knew when they stepped up on this high plateau, and we said, coming into that back door, always get in your mental mind, I'm stepping up into the house of God. I'm stepping up into the new Jerusalem. I'm stepping up into the Israel of God today. We are the circumcision which worship God's Spirit. We're the Jewish people today. We're God's people. And when we come into this building, we're coming into the presence of God. And so we should put all this other stuff aside and quit letting all those things come in here and sink this boat. I said this morning that all the oceans of the world can't sink a boat unless it gets inside. We've got to keep all that stuff out so we don't let it affect who we are and what we do and how we do things. And every time we come in, let's say, I'm coming in to look at myself and to see the Lord. I'm going to change myself. And when I go out that back door, I'm going out on a higher plane. And every time I take a step in there, I'm getting up higher. I'm getting up closer every time. Now, you can take some baby steps. You can do like what I'm doing. I'm trying to take a big step when I come in. I want to have a great impact on me. I want to be a different person every time I come in. I want to sing with all that's in me. I want to listen to the prayers. And when somebody says a prayer in 1 Corinthians 14, when they finish and I believe it, I'm going to say amen to that. I believe that's right. Let people know that. What would that do to our prayers and how people prayed if we were caught up in the zeal of what these New Testament people did? But notice, when you see that and understand all that, you realize that what a person needs to do is to understand, I don't care whether you're in the belly of a great fish. I've often wondered why Jonah, it seems like he was in the belly of a fish 3 days and he cried out. I wonder what was in his mind to wait 3 days. I don't know if he was praying the Lord waited 3 days or he waited 3 days to pray. But I'm going to tell you, when you think I'm at the bottom of the ocean, the seaweed's tangled up around my head, I'm going to start praying. Let me tell you, God will watch over you. God will, and you get in the lion's den. Or go through the fiery furnace. Or face some battle where you're outnumbered and somebody says, what are we going to do? And somebody realizes the battle belongs unto the Lord. I can't do it. But the Lord can. And we just have to learn that. And when we do that, we want to come in here because we'll see how great our God who made heaven and earth. He cares for us. He's not going to leave us. He's not going to let us down. He's going to protect us. He's going to watch us. He's going to preserve us. And He's promised to do it. And He's promised to do it not only just today, but tomorrow also, and forevermore. That's what God said. What great promise. What a great God we serve. What a great Father we have. If we could get these thoughts into our head and let them have a great impact. I said this morning, that ship is the picture I've been in many times. It looks like it's going to crash, but it slides through, you see. If you're here this evening and you've never believed the gospel, you can hear what the Bible is saying about God, the good news about the kind of God we serve, and we have come to Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. You can put your faith in what He says. You can believe that. And you can have the determination to change your will. Repentance is changing your mind and doing what God says and confessing your allegiance to the Son of God who came down from heaven. I've often thought about how it must have been for God throughout human history. All the things that went on through the Old Testament and for things to go on around the side of Zion through the years and for God to look down and see Mount Zion for many years, but also to see Mount Calvary and to see Golgotha and know that one day His Son would hang on Golgotha. Why, God? To show me and to show you how much He cares. How much He wants to help us. How much He wants to save us. How much He wants to be with us. I wish we wanted to be with Him as much as He wants to be with us. Well, tonight you can be baptized, have your sins washed away. But you've got to lift your eyes up. And you've got to determine that you're going to find that the only hope you have in all the world is not in your doctor. It's not in your lawyer. If you ever got your car, you drive along your car and it goes along pretty good and all of a sudden it starts getting sluggish and jumping and missing and banging and popping and carrying on. So you call the mechanic and say, my car's in bad shape. He said, I can't get you in until Wednesday. Well, you've got to get out and walk around until Wednesday. But when you take it in and you get it going again, you're always glad. When your body gets in bad shape, and you know something's wrong, you got to go to the doctor and find out what's wrong. You go to get to, and they say, well, we can't get you in for 2 weeks. But when you go, you're glad you go back. And when you get out in this world and you get broken down, get in your head, Sunday's coming. Sunday's coming. You know, these Jews thought they had defeated Jesus when they killed Him. Satan thought he had won, but they forgot that Sunday was coming. And Wednesday's coming. I was with my brother yesterday. For years, he and I both have been tangled up in drugs. And I saw him yesterday. He was down in Lebanon where I was preaching. J.R. Barger and I were preaching together. They had a Saturday preaching down there every year. And J.R. and I go down there together. And my brother was there, and he saw me, and he said, well, you got me through. I'm ready for Sunday to come now. I can get through today. Well, I tell you, that's what you do every day. You just keep praying and reading your Bible and coming together and stepping up on a higher plane. And just make up your mind when you come through that door, get in your mind a mental attitude, I'm stepping up into the house of God. If you can think that, It will affect the way we do things and the way God can do things with us. And so if you're here this evening and there's something you need to do, you may be calling out of distress like we saw this morning in our second lesson. God will hear and He'll help. If you hear and need to respond anyway, why don't you come when we stand and sing the song.